Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Tiger King's Carol Baskin's going to join us, and then we'll do Brad Williams going to hang out and get into some Koppel and very funny stuff, and then news as well. First, there's Jordan Harbinger. The Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, you should definitely check this one out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Man, is he right. Or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good guy. We've had him on many times. I know the man well, and he's worth a listen. We enjoy the show, and we know you will, too. So you can search The Jordan Harbinger Show. That is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy, Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
If you said Pulp Fiction.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Well, animal rights activist and CEO of Big Cat Rescue, Carol Baskin, has joined us. Her website, bigcatrescue.org, is where you go if you'd like to help. Good to see you, Carol.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I was looking down and I thought, what a perfect storm, because Tiger King was released in March of 2020, which is as the world was going into lockdown.
Yep.
Your super bingeable show was unleashed on the public.
Well put.
And it had to be bigger than you could have ever imagined. Is that correct?
It was. I would not have expected the show I thought I was working on, which would have been The Blackfish for Big Cats, to have a large audience, because people want to be entertained. They don't want to be educated. So it turned out not to be anything like what I thought we were working on. And it ended up getting a lot more attention than probably a documentary would have.
Has it all been good, or 70% good, 30% bad? Or like, how, if you were to parse it out, how your life changed over the last couple of years, how would you describe it?
And I have a really bad connection, so I apologize. But, you know, right after Tiger King came out, for months, all I could do was, every time I picked up my phone, it was people screaming death threats at me and just being so wretched based on what they had seen in Tiger King and believed without doing any kind of research. And so in the beginning, I was concerned that the false narrative that had been put out there would actually hurt tigers in the wild, because people would no longer be willing to hear my message that we needed to stop the cub petting in order to save them. But I think it was because of Dancing with the Stars giving me a platform and access to the media where I could bring the focus back to the big cats, that it has turned around from something that was very negative in the beginning to something that has proven to be much more positive. And I think this year we will actually get the Big Cat Public Safety Act passed, and that will end the abuse. So it will have been worthwhile once that happens.
Well, Carol, my name is Brad Williams. I am not associated with the Adam Carolla Show, in case I say something wrong. I'm just a comedian. But one thing that you have to your advantage is anything negative that the Tiger King documentary says about you, on the right of you, you have Joe Exotic, and on the left of you, you have Doc Antle. So no matter what they say about you, you look like a spring peach.
That's
like,
true.
Like, you look pretty great when those are the two extremes that are on the right and left of you. And I think really brings a lot of attention to your cause, because we see these crazy guys and we go, oh, that's probably not who should be running a zoo.
I don't know how I feel about being paired with that community for the rest of my life when it's that community that I have been trying to stop all these years, but it seems to be what it is.
I'm so interested in your story, and again, I think you can see maybe better this way. Really, my whole, for lack of a better word, problem with the doc was that I know we're all supposed to be fascinated because everyone's larger than life, but it's really hard to watch things that don't feel right happening to these big cats. And I'm sure you have the same opinion, which is, you know, why you're so outspoken about it, which we appreciate. I saw in the documentary that you yourself, it seems like, used to be interested in the sort of the cub, the domesticated cub life. And I'm wondering, what was the change that you thought, like, this is not what I should be doing?
Well, actually, that was never my life. I've never bred a lion or a tiger. And it just goes to show how that narrative was so convincing, despite it being totally untrue.
Well, they had the videotape, and I'm wondering what maybe they spun that a little bit.
I'm absolutely sure, because like I said, we never bred lions or tigers. But what changed for me when we first rescued those 56 bobcats and lynx from the fur farm, and I initially put them into private homes thinking that that was better than having them be turned into fur coats, I very quickly learned that nobody was willing to take care of such a difficult animal for their entire life. And they started coming back to us. And that was when I vowed to start spaying and neutering everybody as quickly as I could. And that was back in the 90s. And so we did breed some of the smaller, more rare cats like ocelots and caracals and probably cats you've never heard of before. But it was before the internet. And as soon as the internet came out and I discovered that none of these cats in private ownership can ever go free and none of them serve any conservation value, then I stopped breeding in 1997 and actually a little bit before that.
What's the
plot? For all of their carrying on about how I was just the same.
Well, no, I certainly didn't mean it that way. I thought it was interesting that it seemed like at first you're like, there's something about the baby cats that, you know, it's okay to bring them in. And then clearly you were like, actually, this isn't saving them. So I love that turning point story.
What's the plight?
Yeah, information from the internet.
Yeah. Good. Docs. They were supposed to be the last place you could go. You could find the truth out about everything. They just get cooked. I mean, the only way you know it is if you're in it and you see it. Like, there was that whole Michael Jackson one with Mark Garagos, and they cooked him in that. Like, it's crazy how much cooking there is.
And that it's not worth doing anything about, because who's going to listen and how long is it going to take? And
good
luck. How do you retract it?
Mm-hmm. Well, they say, like, a lie makes its way around the world while the truth is still lacing its shoes up. You know, it's just that's how fast that goes versus how long the truth. But we're seeing it. You see it in real time. Like, you see it now. Mm-hmm. You see it in the news cycles.
Sure.
You know, you hear the stories. And then once they're in the zeitgeist, they're just it's in. It's done. And at that point, you just have to live with it. So I got two questions. What's the plight of the big cat out in the world and in nature right now? Like, what countries are doing it right? What countries are doing it wrong? Are the populations going up? Are they going down? Poaching? How's it internationally?
Big Cat Rescue has been part of the International Tiger Coalition since it was founded in 2007. And back then, there were only about 1,200 to 1,900 tigers left in the wild. And we made it our mission that by the Year of the Tiger, which starts next month, we would double that. And so we have 3,900 tigers left in the wild now, currently in India and Russia. But what has been keeping us from reaching even better numbers in the wild is all of this unregulated trade in America. So even though tigers are not native to America, America is the worst reason or the biggest reason for the extinction of the tiger in the wild. 3,900 is not a lot of cats. And the reason that those cats are being poached out of the wild is because in the US, they are used for those photo ops, like you saw in Tiger King. And they can only use them for about a month before they can take a finger off of a child. And so then they become a huge liability and they end up being dumped into private ownership. Nobody is prepared to take care of a cat who's going to be 500 pounds by the time it's 5 years old. And so usually by the time it's a year or two, they're calling sanctuaries like mine and asking us to bail them out, which we do. But a lot of those cats end up being killed, sold into the illegal trade for their parts. And that stimulates the demand. And so the two biggest things are that we have all of these cats that are creating a legal smokescreen for the illegal activities of poaching. And we have a letter from our State Department saying that they have no authority on the global stage to ask these Asian countries not to farm the tigers for their parts, because they look at us and they say, at least we know where our tigers are. You in America, you don't even know where your tigers are. And they're right. I mean, last year we had three different situations where tigers were found wandering around neighborhoods in Texas.
Somewhere near Mike Tyson's house would be my answer if someone wanted to know where our tigers were.
But like always, sorry, when we talk about like China and, you know, these, you know, how do we get out of this tangled situation? We stop accepting it. You know, we stop buying, you know, these mass produced things from China. We stop accepting these cats for petting zoos.
I'm going to put Chris on a quick piece of homework. Carol, have you ever seen the movie Manhunter?
I don't think so.
See, I always find this part of life very curious. You find the movie Manhunter, Chris, there's a crazy scene where there's a full-size Bengal tiger that is sedated in a zoo, and the blind woman is dragging her hand across this sedated Bengal tiger. It's kind of eerie and poetic and bizarre. That this was Silence of the Lambs before Silence of the Lambs.
Oh boy.
So this was Silence of the Lambs, five years before Silence of the Lambs. It's a Michael Mann movie. It's
Brian Cox, right?
It's a great movie. He was the Hannibal Lecter.
You're right.
Better Hannibal Lecter, Brian Cox was. He was fantastic, but it's a crazy scene. But you, of all people, should have seen this scene.
Somebody should have brought it to your attention.
Someone should have brought it to your attention. Can we show it to her? Can you find it, Chris?
Yeah. Manhunter.
Here we go.
It's Hannibal Lecter. Is that everything? Crazy killer guy. She's blind.
So why is she feeling this tiger up?
Unclear.
I mean, look how the tiger's dressed. It's asking for it.
It's a giant Bengal tiger, and it's...
He's out cold.
He's out cold. And I don't know if it's a live tiger or dead. It seems to be breathing and stuff.
Yeah, he has a little... His eyes are blinking.
Yeah,
his eyes
are blinking.
Yeah.
This is bizarre.
I cannot be the first human being in the 60 years you've been on this planet and the 31 years since this movie's been out. Look at this scene. She's dragging her hand across the mouth. By the
way, that is horrifying to me, because if they're blinking, it means they're about to wake up.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Well, she didn't blink, but she's not
she's
really blind.
Her hand in his mouth.
This is bizarre. Your scent.
It's a full-size Bengal tiger. Wonder who the killer is.
Hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes a guy with the hair lip and the male pattern of all this.
Hugging it.
Oh, look how skinny that poor thing is.
Yeah, you can see his hip bones.
It's a Am I the only human being who's seen this scene?
Yes.
Watch Manhunter. It's a Michael Mann film. It's strong. And Brian Cox is a better Hannibal Lecter.
I love him, so I can see that as an absolute truth. I got to stop looking at this albino in the back, though.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
See, to me, this is like, I had a, producer. You know when you meet someone and some girl and they have a name like Barbara Ann or something, and you go, oh, like the Beach Boys song, and they go, huh?
Never heard
like,
it.
How does this happen? How does someone not show you this scene in this movie, which is when wide release in theaters? You were not 14 when this movie came out. You could have bought yourself a ticket. Probably 87, 80.
What do you have to say?
93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And yet I'm the only human in this building that has seen this Michael Mann victory.
Yeah.
Great film.
I love that as popular of a figure as Carol Baskin is, and as many people want to interview you, Carol, and people want to ask some crazy questions, some very harsh questions, only Adam Carolla asked the very hard question of why did no one show you the movie Manhunter?
Oh, he's going to hold your feet to the fire.
I'm angry at all of you because it's a great movie, and Brian Cox is so good.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah.
How could
Succession?
He?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Carol, I actually had a question.
You truly take the award for unique.
Love that. Carol, I have a question, and it's about your current husband. I'm fascinated that was he into tigers before he met you? Because in the movie, he's doing like photo shoots with you and loincloths, and he's all about the tigers, and he's or did you get him into it? Like, what? Where did you guys meet? Like, I'm fascinated by this relationship.
Well, thank you. And he prefers to be called my last husband, not my latest husband.
Oh. Ah, good point.
You know what? Good call.
We had a mutual friend. Her name's Mary Hessler Key, and she wrote a book called The Entrepreneurial Cat, which I just loved. And it had advice about sticking to the knitting, which is absolutely on target for me. But he was her best male friend, and I knew her because of us being in the animal community. And so she was having a event for No More Homeless Pets. And the idea was to have a huge spay and neuter program that keeps all of these cats and dogs from ending up in shelters and being euthanized due to overpopulation, which was right on target for everything I ever wanted to do. Even though I was already into the big cats, my main goal in life was to end this problem for domestic cats and kittens. So we were both invited to the thing. We were the only two people out of all of the recipients who failed to open the email that we got correcting the time to be at the aquarium for this event. And so we showed up there half an hour before anybody else and had some time to get to know each other and realized we had this mutual friend. And so he was not at all into protecting animals, and she had just dragged him to this thing to try and get him involved in protecting animals. And so about 3 weeks later, he finally called me back, and we really hit it off after that. And to this date, I mean, that was in November 1st of 2002 that we met. And to this date, we still have not had our first argument, even when he showed up to our wedding wearing a tiger toga.
That's my point.
That's love.
He's wearing a tiger toga to the wedding, and you're saying he wasn't into animal conservation before.
That's like a romantic gesture.
I thought that I was on new ground for getting my wife into pro wrestling, but she never shows up wearing a Hulk Hogan singlet to bed, despite my best efforts. But that's amazing that you got him into it that much. So really, my hat's off to you.
Do you know, was it Tippi Hedren? Who was the blonde 50s?
Melanie Griffith's mother?
No, Tippi.
From the Birds.
Yeah, she was a big cat.
Well, Tippi is Melanie Griffith's mother.
Yeah.
But she was in... Yeah,
she
sorry,
has a
I didn't
sanctuary.
Mean that, but she has a sanctuary, right? She... Do you...
Yeah, Shambhala out in California.
You guys talk or do you hate her guts?
No, I love Tippi. In fact, I tell this story about her. She had invited me to one of her donors that lived on this little island near where I am, because she was coming all the way from California. This was off the coast of Florida. And so we go out, we're on the boat all day, and we come back to the house, and she's trying to get her zipper down on her pants. And this woman is like 4 feet tall. She's really tiny, petite little woman. Yeah, and she could not get the zipper down.
Brad calls her
really
stretch.
Needed to go.
Yeah, sorry. She needed to go.
And so she's like, you got to help me with the zipper. And I was trying and trying, and I could not get the zipper down. And so finally I get down on my knees in front of her, and I'm working the zipper. And that's when everybody else from the boat walks in. And they're just like, okay, we just...
Other question I was thinking about was Kate McKinnon, who's, one of the most versatile comedic or beyond actresses out there, is going to be playing you in the whole Peacock Joe versus Carol thing. And I heard you talking about it on Extra or one of the news outlet shows, entertainment news shows, saying you were pretty excited about it. But I don't know if you've seen any of it or talked to Kate or how that worked.
No, they are basing it on the Wondery podcast that came out in August before Tiger King came out. And the Wondery podcast was closer to the truth. It had an awful lot of the same. The guy who wrote it, Robert Moore, said that he was kind of led down this path by all of these great con men. And then in the end, he's like, but this is what I found out to be true. And he lays out the truth. And so I kept thinking through Tiger King that they were going to get to that point, too, where they laid out the truth. They just never got to that part. So I'm really hoping that I know she's based her piece on Wondery because they reached out to us and asked if we would be willing to sign over my life's rights. And I said no. And so they said, okay, we're going to do it anyway. And then
it's always a good sign.
So that's how that works.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think the tone of that's going
to
be?
Hard to say because, they made is it a movie or a series? I haven't watched it yet.
Eight part series.
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, with the, what is it called? The Doctor Next Door with Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell. And that's a very serious piece.
Oh.
So I think and that's from a very famous podcast. So I think maybe these SNL alum are, wanting to stretch their wings a little bit.
You know, Kate McKinnon is, she can do whatever she can fall into any character. But if you're looking for a blonde from with improv chops and sketch chops from a late night sketch improv TV show, Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV. Now it's a deeper dive.
Oh, I mean, that Mad TV is, I love that show. I love the cast. And
she was one of the original castmates.
Oh, yeah.
And she looked, if you find the right picture of Nicole Sullivan and Carol Baskin, you'll go, oh, they look very similar. I think it's in the eyes. You must have been told that. Please. That was a huge hit. Nothing.
Never saw it.
You guys are about to say, oh,
Carol.
Nobody. Nothing.
Adam's going to send you over a list of required viewing. It's going to be that movie.
Man-Eater.
Yeah.
I mean, Man-Hunter.
That's
Man-Hunter. Man-Hunter.
Nicole Never Sullivan, Man-Eater. And then many episodes of The Love Boat. But that's just because.
Yes. That'll be a palate cleanser.
I have a quick question on behalf of our buddy Brian, who's one of the co-hosts who's out today. He's doing a thing this year where every single day he's donating to a different charity and sort of hoping that we will all do the same. Obviously, what you do is important to so many of us, and I'm wondering if you have any ideas of where people might be able to send a donation.
BigCatRescue.org/donate.
Great.
Carol, you're doing the Lord's work, so keep it up, and thank you for joining us. And again, BigCatRescue.org is where you can go if you'd like to donate to a worthy cause.
Wow.
Carol Baskin.
Thank you.
This is a pretty...
I got to go look up Nicole Sullivan now.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
There's a resemblance.
Wow.
There's something there.
Well done, Adam.
She's got chops, and she's gettable, so maybe we do our own thing.
Right.
There you go.
With your signature. You know what I mean? I'm not going to.
You're going to sign over the life. Yeah.
With your blessing.
Story, so
your
we can blessing. Do it the right way.
We'll do it right.
Yeah.
The right way. Carol Baskin, thank you very much for joining us. All right.
Thank you.
Chris, now you
that
have.
That is right up there with Chris Carter and
Godzuki.
That is right up there.
Thank you.
Good pull.
Thank you. Although if they're in the same room, keep it under your cap. I need me some Brian Cox as the original Hannibal Lecter. Now, the thing about the original Hannibal Lecter is in Manhunter. This is homework for everyone. Go watch this movie.
Manhunter.
Yeah, Manhunter. Sorry. Very stylized. This is Michael Mann, maybe around Miami Vice, had that vibe to it.
Okay.
It's a good story. It's based on the first book, like The Red Dragon or something, something like that. And the thing about Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs is he turned into a cartoon character. Like they kept him in a dungeon.
Yes.
Sure. You know what I mean?
On a, like a, in like a mummy's sarcophagus.
Yeah. This all strapped a refrigerator dolly and stuff. But
you can't give him a postage stamp or else he'll
take a finger.
Right. He'll kill 500 people.
Right. Yeah. And even if you remember, it was like in the basement of some castle. Yeah. There's stone walls and rusty bars and madmen and stuff. This was not that. This was like a state-of-the-art facility where you would keep criminally insane mastermind.
Right.
But you wouldn't put him in a dungeon, in a pit. And Brian Cox, I don't know, there's scenes when he's talking. There's great. There's this. He really came across like the criminal, not the cartoon criminal mastermind. He was that guy.
While they're looking that up, Adam, I feel like this is a holiday for you. I don't even know why you're at work today because it is Paul Newman's birthday.
Paul Newman's birthday. Yeah.
He would have been, what, 92 or something like that today? So, like, which car do you take out today to celebrate?
I will sit in his GT1 championship car from 1985 and eat my lunch after the show. And his brother is still alive.
Oh, I remember from the doc, he is himself very easy on the eyes.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
God, oh, yes.
He must have got a lot of residual trim.
You have to.
Paul Newman's brother.
The runoff.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find Brian Cox.
While they're looking that up, I can't be the only one.
Range.
How could she have not seen that movie with that scene? It's a full-grown Bengal tiger, totally sedated, live, not a stuffed animal, nothing. And it's a long-form scene, and the blind woman's just dragging her hand along its teeth.
I wouldn't be surprised if she said, that's the scene that got me to want to save Cat.
She probably knows the tiger.
That's what yes.
I'm just thinking of all the people listening to the podcast, having Carol Baskin on the podcast, just screaming, ask her about the dead husband! There's a screaming.
There's
you're going, no, no, no.
There's
more important
what
things that we have to do.
What answer do you think we're going to get that you haven't heard already?
Exactly. No, but has anyone asked her about Manhunter?
No.
Only by this podcast.
That's right. I have to ask you, we don't even need images. Just think in your head. Three men, because I often get accused of black simile. Here's a white one. Brian Cox, Powers Booth, and Albert Finney. They are interchangeable to me.
I got Powers Booth not in there, but,
really?
But Finney, yes. Okay.
An older Powers Booth, though?
Yeah, like a Deadwood Powers Booth.
Okay.
No, I don't have Powers Booth. Okay. I think Red Dawn when I think Powers Booth.
I don't recall. But you'll accept an Albert Finney.
Yes, definitely accept Albert Finney.
Thank you.
And then there's a crazy, huge black man who played linebacker in the NFL named Brian Cox as well. Who's
then he goes before Powers Booth.
Crazy. No.
Okay.
But looks just like him. Ironically, crazy. Looks just like him.
All right.
Can't tell the difference.
Max Pata, should we do? Let's see. All right. Here's a great Brian Cox as the original Hannibal Lecter.
That's the same atrocious aftershave you wore in court 3 years ago.
Yeah, I keep getting it for Christmas.
Did you get my card?
I got it, thank you.
And how is Officer Stewart? The one who was first to see my basement.
Stewart's fine.
Emotional problems, I hear. Do you have any problems, Will?
No.
No. Of course you don't. I'm glad you came. My callers are mostly clinical psychologists from Cornfield University somewhere. Second raters, the lot.
Dr. Bloom showed me your article on surgical addiction in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry.
And?
Very interesting. Even to a layman. I want you to help me, Dr. Lecter. I thought so. It's about Atlanta and Birmingham.
Yes?
You read about it?
In the papers. I don't tear out the articles. I wouldn't want them to think I was dwelling on anything morbid. You want to know how he's choosing them, don't you?
I thought you might have some ideas.
Why should I tell you?
You get to see the file in this case. And there's another reason.
Pray tell.
Thought you might be curious to see if you're smarter than the person I'm looking for.
Then by implication, you think you're smarter than me since you caught me.
No. I know that I'm not smarter than you.
Then how did you catch me, Will?
You had disadvantages.
What disadvantages?
You're insane.
Good line.
You are very tan, Will. Your hands are rough. They don't look like cop's hands anymore. And that shaving lotion was something a child would select. It has a ship on the bottle, doesn't it? Don't think you can persuade me with appeals to my intellectual vanity.
I don't think I'll persuade you at all. You'll either do it or you won't. Besides, we have Dr. Bloom working on it, and he's the best.
Do you have the file with you?
Yes.
Pictures?
Yes.
Let me have them, and I might consider it.
No.
Dream much, Will.
Goodbye, Dr. Lecter.
You haven't threatened to take away my books yet. Let me have the file, and I'll tell you what I think.
This is a good movie. All right.
I'm in.
I mean,
you should be
I
in.
Like it. It's
That's
good,
great.
It's good acting, but I'm just missing that other inmate flinging his splooge at
right.
Jodie Foster.
That's the best part.
It's missing something. I just don't feel like it's real Hannibal Lecter. And also, I'm such a Succession fan that I keep expecting him to just go, fuck off.
Well, there it is. I'm glad.
Wow.
Now, here's the question. Is Carol going to watch that movie?
I doubt it.
No.
No. She has bigger fish to fry.
No kidding.
Bigger cats to not breed.
All right. Oh, God. We wanted to get to some Ted Koppel.
Oh, yes.
And
well, we do have news coming.
What's that?
Yeah.
I mean, he does do news.
Well, it's true.
I'm a newsman, Adam.
But we do have, we were going to do some Two Live Crew. Or Ted, did you bring a song in, Ted?
Listen. The last time I was here, I read some Two Live Crew lyrics. It was very popular. I got hit up many times on Instagram. A lot of, what I don't know what you call them, Insta-hoes slid into my DMs.
Wow.
And it made me very aroused. So I got to thinking, maybe I should read more lyrics, and then old Teddy can play a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
So I got a song. It's by someone who's performing at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Huh.
He's named after a canine.
Oh.
Hmm.
Snoop Dogg.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song called Bitches Ain't Shit But Hoes and Tricks.
I know this one.
Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Lick on these nuts and suck the dick. Get the fuck out after you're done. Then I hop in my coupe to make a quick run. Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Lick on these nuts and suck the dick. Get the fuck out after you're done. Then I hop in my coupe to make a quick run. I really like these lyrics.
Yeah, so nice you said them twice.
They speak to me many times. I hop in the coupe. I get in the car. I hit the switches in my black 6.4.
Uh-huh, yeah, the hydraulics.
That's what you called him, yes.
That's right. Get the front end up, get the side up.
That's what I do. It really makes the newscaster hair flow well in the wind. And man, if I'll be damned, do the hoes not love that shit?
Oh, wow. They love it.
Between that and that extreme side part, you have it going on.
Yeah.
That's right. And let me tell you, I used to know a bitch named Eric Wright. We used to fuck around and fuck the hoes all night. Tighter than a motherfucker with gangster beats. And we was ballin' in these motherfucking Compton streets. Beep that shit deep, and it was on. Number one song after number one song. Long as my motherfucking pockets were fat, I didn't give a fuck where the bitch was at.
Oh, this is definitely a different side of Ted.
This is one of the songs that Tim the Russian rapper would do.
Oh, in the back seat?
Yes, yes. My Catholic big brother's fat friend lived in the apartment next to him. He said, go with me to the beach. And I'd take, well, I'd take my Nate, my Catholic little brother, and then Team would come in, you know,
Team.
And then he'd go, beach, he's saying, shit, but hose and frick, suck on these balls and leak on this dick. And he put the tape
in. I like
in.
My version better.
I know, he's like Dracula.
Well, let's hear yours once again, Ted.
But she was hanging with a white bitch, doing the shit she do, sucking on his dick just to get a buck or two. It's a bad economy.
Yeah, you know? I know, it's right.
And I try to
seller's
supply
market.
Chain situation. Yeah.
And the few ends, she didn't mean nothing. Now she's suing, because shit that she be doing ain't shit. Really great lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Expressive.
Bitch can't hang with the streets. She found herself short. So now she taking me to court. In a real conversation for your ass. So recognize and pass the das. This is up there with Mark Twain.
Yeah, no, it's Will Rogers, Mark Twain.
All the greats.
And you said that you were in a van with three gentlemen doing these lyrics? Listening to this kind of music?
I was in a Zuzu Trooper with two other gentlemen, yeah.
Adam, I'm not one to judge your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a newsman. I simply right. just look at the facts. And the facts are, you've got to get some more hoes in your ride.
I know.
I think Team would agree.
They don't do the Catholic little sister thing. They do the little brother because they have the mentor.
Yeah, it's not a wife swap.
Weird.
How
yeah.
are you going to get your dick wet with such dry nuts?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a question for the ages.
Yeah, he would put that together. He had the backhand like John McEnroe. When you really break down these lyrics dry... I can see why some people
listen,
have
man,
a problem.
A lot of metaphor.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hop in my hoopty. We're going to go down and cruise these Compton streets. Bitches are going to know what's up when they see Coppola and Corolla rolling through.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In your 64.
In my black 64. That's right. We'll hit some switches.
Hydraulics, man.
Yeah. We'll be dumping gin and juice all over dim titties. That's what we'll be doing.
What is...
Can I make an appointment for us to go do this activity?
Yeah, we'll pencil you in. What is Snoop going to do at halftime if this is all his songs?
He's really mellowed out. Remember, he has like a whole thing with Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I know, but how could one... Well, look, Brad, you get the fact that when somebody goes... Hey, we got this corporate gig. It's great, but it's with these kind of conservative business guys, and they need it really clean. So they need like a clean 20.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, man, I gotta sift through this set because I don't know if I have 20 minutes that is clean.
Right.
All
you know
the
I mean?
Way
well,
through as,
clean,
as a through line, yeah.
So we need a Snoop Dogg song that he can do.
Mm-hmm.
So what song would we do if – everything is littered with hoes and bitches.
Is he just coming on like he sort of does now and like being featured?
I think
just saying hello.
He's got to be because what are we going to do?
Maybe they're going to take little choruses from a bunch of different songs and maybe within the choruses.
Yeah, some Warren G, Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
Snoop's going to slip up though, right?
he has to. We want him to.
Something's
going to happen, right?
Definitely there's going to be a 15-second delay on this halftime
Yeah,
show.
But it's like you always say about Snoop. Like, we want to see him high. We want to see him with a joint in his hand. Like, we want to see him slip up and talk about bitches.
Well, I've been to his house, and I got high with him.
the visual of what you said. You and Jimmy walking in, it was like you had little beanies on your head with the whirly on top. Like, hey, fellas, how are you?
Wait, you've been to Snoop Dogg's house?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say so?
Yeah, I've been to like his...
I'm Eskimo Brothers with Snoop Dogg.
Are you? Really?
We used to rail the same bitches, him and I.
Really? Back in the day?
Absolutely.
You did the devil's handshake with Snoop Dogg?
I believe they call it an Eiffel Tower.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that,
Snoop
Ted.
Would be on one side. I'd be on the other. The bitch was in the middle. And then we would high five.
Wow.
Oftentimes play a little game of patty cake.
Wow. You must be a confident man because I bet Snoop's packing the heat downstairs, right?
Listen, Snoop's doing okay.
But don't think Mr. Teddy Capo doesn't have a boom mic.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Shots fired.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I didn't even think of that.
Many people think I'm black from the waist down.
Wow. Never, yeah, I always see you sitting at the news desk. I don't think about the, I think about the waist up, you know?
I've split some bitches in half.
What?
Gina, you're an attractive woman.
Thank you, Mr. Koppel.
Do you have ice packs ready? Because you'll need it after this, dick.
Wow.
You didn't know that.
A Peabody Award winner.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe it? Unbelievable.
All right. Should we take a break?
I have a daughter.
And do some... She's practicing on the pole. We'll take a quick break, come back with the news, and Brad, right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Coming out. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Shoplifters are getting bolder and bolder every day, and Michael Rapaport has proof. The actor and friend of the show posted a video on social media that he took at a New York Rite Aid where he claims that a guy loaded up his bags, walked out of the store like, you know, the devil may care, and right in front of a security guard, no less. It's a 45-second clip, and I'm going to show you the whole thing.
Yo, I'm looking at this shit. This dude... This motherfucker, yo, that, this dude is, I can't believe I'm seeing this shit.
Just walks right out.
This motherfucker. Yo.
Goes out after him.
This fucking guy just filled his two bags up with everything in Rite Aid right here.
80th and First.
80th and First Avenue. He's walking down the street like shit is Gucci. Look at me in my face like what's. Good. I was watching him the whole time. My man just went Christmas shopping in January. He had the condoms.
Good.
The shampoo.
At least he's using protection.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Well, look, my theory is always this. The police can, if everyone just decides to do what they want to do, like a book drop,
yeah.
There's not enough police to do anything about anything. So, like, as a society, we really just, like, set examples. Like, we go, what happened to your friend? He went into the Rite Aid. He tried to steal a candy bar. He got wrestled to the ground, and the guy broke his jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go, all right, I will share that story with everyone in the neighborhood.
Right.
And then you don't get the Rite Aid stolen.
Right.
Yeah.
But he showed up with a duffel bag. Filled it up with a bunch of high-end shampoo and conditioner and then walked past the security guard and walked back to his house, that sends a different message.
It sure does. We know what Rite Aid to go to.
Yeah,
First. And did you see that what do you want from me look on the security guard's face?
Well, that's the whole thing. Their hands are tied. And by the way, if you are a security guard and you're getting $13 an hour, whether you pull your hands out of your pockets or not, well, don't you just want to go home?
Why not?
Well, then what's the point of what is his job? What is he supposed to do?
Well, they used to all these things like cops and squad cars and security and windbreakers and badges and uniforms. They used to just prevent people from doing things because you go, there's a cop right there. I'm not going to fucking do that thing.
Right.
Now we jump on the hood of the cop car and try to kick in the windshield while the cops are in the car throwing buckets. That society will come undone, unraveled like a fucking sweater where one of Carol's big cats got a hold of a thread and just started running in the opposite direction. That's how fucking fast we'll come unraveled. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
It's all in the messaging.
Well, that and with, yes, the internet provides us with so much knowledge that is good, but at the same time, now there's people out there that, like, we know the difference between a police officer and a security guard in terms of what they can do, what they're not allowed to do. One of my first jobs, I used to work at Hot Topic. You're damn right.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I worked at Hot Topic and I dressed pretty much how I dress now back when I worked there. So everyone had the tattoos and the gauges and all the weird piercings. And they just looked at me as a dwarf and went, yeah, that's weird enough. And I worked at Hot Topic. And I remember the speech they gave me when they're like, all right, if you see someone trying to shoplift, here's what you do. And I remember my mindset of being like,
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do a shoulder roll, no time for backup, and then do like...
Sweep the leg.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that to the guy that just stole like 30 bucks worth of jewelry, and I don't get a raise if I stop him. So no, I'm not going to do it. When and now word is out, and people know that.
Yeah, so look, cops need to be respected, need to be cops. Criminals need to be treated like criminals. I mean, there is... I was yelling at someone the other day, which is like, we're living in some alternate universe. Diet and exercise. It's just, it's life. It's sure. Gravity. It's just diet and exercise. You want to lose weight, diet and exercise. There's no more books. There's no more clubs. There's
give
no
the
more
pill.
Deal a wheel, yeah. Meal a wheel deal.
Cruise
it's
to lose.
Just no. Diet and exercise. That's what crime is. That's what society is. That's what education is. That's what every public safety. It's just... It's just you go, now New York's going to do, they're going to get more. I mean, basically, New York's got a black mayor, so he gets to go, well, we're going to do more plain clothes guys out there patrolling right. Patrolling now, you know, redhead guy can't make that proclamation because then that's racist.
Right. Mm.
But now maybe, but it's just right back to what it was. Just guys on the street looking at, and by the way, this whole, like, you can't judge, you can't profile, that's all cops do. They just, fuck, you see a fucking Asian woman walking down the street, she's probably not packing heat. You see a young black guy, higher chance he's packing heat. You're going to have to stop more young black guys than you are elderly Asian women. That's the way it is. Sorry, but the good news is you'll get the guns off the street and it'll be a safer community.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole thing where it's like, yeah, but if one innocent person is stopped and detained and pulled... Tough shit. It's what cops do. Sometimes they stop you and they think you're doing something. I mean, I've been, and this notion of like, I've been pulled over a million times. I've been stopped. I got yanked out of an airport for arguing with someone behind a counter once. Like, it just, shit happens. You got to let cops do what they're going to do.
Well,
you got to empower them.
You kind of stop for a second. You go, what would happen if that same scene that we just saw Michael Rapaport film? What would happen if that happened in Singapore?
He'd be caned
to death.
Caned him to death.
Yeah, that
no,
was...
No, look, it's a very... Look, in an extreme way.
Yeah.
An extreme way. It's like, how come there's no gum on the sidewalk in Singapore? How come there's no graffiti? How
caning!
Because they cut your fucking hands off.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, that's an extreme.
Sure.
But we've proven that a deterrent is effective. Like, people can not spit their gum out.
Yeah.
They can not graffiti shit. And they cannot rob trains of Amazon packs. You're like, you can coach them up not to do that.
During the first parts of the pandemic in India, we would see videos of when people were out on the streets, the cops would be beating people, saying, like, get back to your fucking homes. And it's like, yeah, then less people started going out of their houses.
And then they do, so then you'll get this one from your buddy in Santa Monica. He'll go, do you want to live in that sort of society? It's like,
are those
okay,
my choices?
Well, the sort of society we're living in now is homeless everywhere.
Yeah.
Drugs everywhere.
Human shit on the streets.
Trash everywhere.
Yeah.
And businesses closing down because people are walking in and helping themselves. So that's what we get if we don't live in the society you don't want to live in. We're living in another dystopian society
right
now.
So let me ask you that question.
Right.
Yeah. Is this where you want to live?
Rules, law and order, blah, blah, blah. And parents, you got to raise your fucking kids.
Well, I have somebody
Jesus
who agrees with you.
Christ. It's insane. It's like, what? It's like, what's all this crazy murder? Like, we got to get these guns off the street. Is it like the guns? Who's shooting the guns, you fucking retards? And by the way, like the three biggest, there's three kind of notable, scary, murdery things in the last, you know, week or so. You got the cops that were killed in New York because the guy had the gun or whatever. And it's like, so then all the politicians go, where are these guns coming from? I don't know. Ask the chick who was working at the furniture store, the UCLA student who was fucking gutted with a knife with a crazy person. Where are these knives coming from? Ask the chick who was pushed onto the tracks on the fucking subway station.
Where are these subways coming from?
Where are these arms coming from? Yeah. Where are these hands coming from? Look, it's fucking nutty people. Knives, you know, we all have them. We
anything
all have
can
them
be
at home in the drawer.
Yeah.
Well, let's dig a little deeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the root of the problem. Remember the roots of all the problems? We're going to get to the roots of everything.
Let's roll up our sleeves.
You don't sit around and go, what are these guns doing?
Yeah.
You go, what are these? What's a 17-year-old think would be a good idea to pick up a gun and shoot somebody in the face?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Well, here's someone who agrees with you, and boy, did she pay. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jenny Nguyen has been fired from the show because of her take on the riots in 2020. The network of Bravo announced that Nguyen was let go from the show on Tuesday, acknowledging that it made the decision in direct response to her social media posts that many said were racist. She's Vietnamese, by the way. What are the racist tweets? Well, I'll give you both of them. She says, I'm sick of people saying cops need more training. You had 18 years to teach your kids it's wrong to loot, steal, set buildings ablaze, block traffic, laser people's eyes, overturn cars, destroy buildings, and attack citizens. Who failed who? And in another tweet, she says, hundreds of blacks shot and many killed, including children, by other blacks every week. Over 1,000 officers violently injured, some permanently, by rioters. Anarchists rioting in the major cities every night, which has caused billions of dollars of destruction to private and public property. And you still think police officers are the problem. You are an idiot. And the show responded quickly, saying,
This is what's caused the whole thing.
Yeah.
These fucking pussy coward producers responding.
They responded
to the obvious truth of what this woman is saying.
But wait, there's more, unfortunately. Ugh. They responded by saying, we recognize we failed to take appropriate action once her offensive social media posts were brought to our attention. Moving forward, we will work to improve our processes to ensure we make better informed and more thoughtful casting decisions. But wait, there's more. Nguyen has apologized.
Ugh.
She said on her Instagram, I want to acknowledge and apologize for my deleted Facebook post from 2020 that resurfaced today. At the time, I thought I was speaking out against violence, but I have since learned how offensive and hurtful my words were.
Well, so we're in this horrible situation where the majority of violent crime is coming from a minority of young black men. That's the reality of it. It's not black women. You know, when everyone goes, it's not elderly black men. It's like there's a pocket that is overrepresented in the violent crime department.
But not in the rioting department.
No.
That seems to be colorblind.
But we got to talk about white supremacy being the biggest domestic threat this country faces and not give this any ink. Now, you're not going to solve a problem if you fire everyone that speaks out against it or raises a voice or whatever. You want to solve a problem, you got to figure it out. What's going on? Why is this happening? Who's doing it? Focus your attention. This notion, it'd be like going, oh, I want to build, we'll leave our country or we'll leave Mexico out of it. It'd be like if somebody said, we want to secure the border. If Canada want to secure the border. And then they went, all right, where should we put the checkpoints? That's just anywhere in Canada.
Wait a second.
But don't you want it like along the border? Yeah, but we'll just put it anywhere. We'll just put it anywhere.
So then you're not really securing the border.
Well, you may get lucky and get some checkpoints on the border, but the reality is it's a group. It's a group. It's an ethnicity. It's black. It's a certain age. It's a tight age, and it's a disproportionate amount of violent crime that comes from that group. So you're not doing them a service by pretending it's not happening that way. It needs an intervention at this point.
We've had the same conversation about homelessness.
Right.
You're doing a disservice by walking by and pretending like everything's fine.
Right.
You're doing a disservice to them.
Yes.
You, all of us.
And the reality is black people statistically kill black people. White people kill white people. The group sort of kill their own, which is weird. Well, I kind of like it, but it makes sense. They live amongst it. But
sure.
There's a ton of young black men getting killed by a ton of other young black men, and it's time for an intervention. And there is no intervention because everyone's scared shitless of getting their shit pulled down and getting their show canceled if they say anything about it. So then we have to then hire, like, we need a black police chief so he can say it because a white police chief couldn't say it. And that's where we're at now with the race relations.
I'm looking at this thing
from a completely different perspective, as maybe a show business person or a producer, where I'm looking at a show, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, where I go, don't you kind of want conflict on that show?
Isn't that the point?
Don't you want some batshit crazy people to say some batshit crazy things so you can, like, it's like, what? No, if you're watching The Real Housewives of whatever city, you want conflict. You want people with differing opinions to argue with each other because that's going to please the viewer. You don't want a bunch of housewives that are scared to say anything because they're going to get canceled. So they
and if
just
you want a villain, fine, call her the villain.
Yeah, call her the villain. And then make her out to be the villain and then have everyone fight with her. Great, it's going to be entertaining as fuck.
Yeah, she sides with the cops and she's the one that's getting thrown off the air. That's essentially what's happening.
And I know we've talked about this before.
And
but
by the way, also, if you say, you know, I side with the cops and not with these violent felons, and then someone goes, that's racist. That's not racist. It could be any violent felon. It doesn't matter.
Well, and that's the thing, that it used to be fine. These pussy, you know, whatever. You apologize. You keep your job. Okay. But you don't keep your job.
No.
So what? Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about one that we don't hear very often. Another crime. It is in New York. I gotta know, because I think this is the building version of a catalytic converter. The off-Broadway production of Perfect Crime turned out to be the perfect show to do this in, Theater Center in New York City. The murder mystery had to cancel several performances due to a crime. Someone stole all the copper piping in the basement. The lead actress showed up and arrived at the theater last Friday, noticed there was no heat, there was no water. So she went down to the basement, discovered water spraying everywhere because there were no pipes. She also noticed the glass door in the basement had been broken and there were bullet casings on the floor. She called police and they're investigating. So far, no leads. Meanwhile, 12 shows had to be canceled while plumbing work was being done. So is this the new, is this what we do now?
Yeah. Well, when you find a meth head with a new 60-inch TV, you can kind of get it. Maybe just find out who's got that.
It's scary. Well, the good news is I know Broadway actors and they have skills way beyond the stage.
That's
someone
right.
Probably just went to their van, grabbed their torch, grabbed some flux, sweated a few, you know. They're probably sweating copper.
No, I think you're right.
They probably had couplings just rolling around the van, if I know actors.
Right.
So they probably
especially
took care
Broadway.
Of it in-house.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
inside job.
Copper's expensive, and we have now created this weird sort of nutria. You know what nutria are?
Big, giant beaver rats.
They're beaver rats.
I don't know how else to describe them.
They were brought...
Weren't they from...
Sounds like a B-horror movie.
Well, I
beaver
remember...
Rats they were from outer space.
They were brought to Louisiana, right?
By the Tabasco family.
Mm. Wow,
and
specifically.
They were going to use them for their pelts or whatever, and then a storm blew over their cages. Now they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Right? But we're in this little nutria rat part where it's like people just scouring around, picking stuff up, pulling stuff out. You know, if you have an aluminum ladder, the aluminum's worth something. The copper and the conduit will pull the copper out. Lena was telling me there's a big copper valve that was in front of a shop that they were using for – they cut that out. They stole that. Like we're now – it's not, you know, it's not international jewel thief.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of street urchins just like crawling around like grabbing wire materials, literally the elements now, the copper and aluminum.
This is
and
Mad Max.
Yes, this is what it's come to. I mean the train is kind of the same thing, like just people climbing onto the train, busting the stuff open, pulling whatever. These aren't criminal masterminds. These are just weird, junky kind of drug induced, you know, whatever homeless urchiny street, you know. Look out.
Yeah. So here's a question. This debate's been going on for decades, as far as I understand. Everybody's down with getting rid of the penny. And everyone's like, oh, no, the sentimental, you know, we need the penny. But it's copper. So don't we want to save that copper for something else? Nobody even uses cash anymore.
They're not in circulation. Brad, I have a theory.
Okay.
The pennies, I haven't even seen one in a while. Like they're coming out of circulation. They keep trying to get rid of them and pull them out of circulation. Mm-hmm. Right about the time Brett Favre was making those commercials with copper infused everything. socks, knee braces,
the microbial
with the back brace, got copper with copper, and then Jerry Rice showed up with his copper socks. All of a sudden,
copper pennies
start. Where are all the pennies in society? I don't know. Well, look no further than Brett Favre.
Wow,
Brett Favre,
he's got copper everywhere.
It's the perfect crime.
At least we found that criminal.
That's what happened. All went to Brett Favre's socks.
Wow.
He distracted you with his dick pics while he was stealing your copper from right under your nose.
The prestige.
Right. Yes.
Unbelievable. What an illusionist.
I think you're onto something.
It was right about to say, if we made a chart of when pennies started to lose their favor in society and when Brett Favre started to show up on TV with, I got a copper-infused milkshake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Look it up.
Yeah. I think this is the next great heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it happen.
Mm. It did happen.
Got my eye on Favre.
He's crafty.
Do we have time for one more that'll give us a little bit of hope?
He's elusive like he was in the pocket. Yeah.
It's gross and sad, but maybe it'll help. Tennessee is launching a Trash for Beer initiative, and it aims at cleaning up the state by offering folks a free pint of beer if they spend some time picking up trash. More than 20 craft breweries across the state are participating in the Pick Up for a Pint campaign. Volunteers will meet up at a designated location, clean up the area. When they're done, they get their one beer.
Good.
Great.
Good. Give incentive.
Yeah. Some people might say, oh, it's beer. They're promoting alcoholism, whatever. I'm for trying anything. Like, because when you look at, there's a new construction project going on at LAX right now. It's a bunch of stuff is happening there.
It's been going on for
3-4 years. But, when people are like, there's so much traffic at LAX, they got to do something. Well, cool. They're going to try something. Will it work? Probably not. But they're trying something. This is something, how fast would that train track get cleaned up? They're like, hey, pint for you.
And you know what? Yeah. I think this is perfect. This is like a great hipster meetup activity. And I think that's what it's for. Because
that
this
is good.
Yeah, you're not just going into Ralph's and getting your, six pack of Bud Light. These are craft breweries, and everyone's going to get together like hipster meetup. Oh. And then they'll have their beer, and then they can Instagram it.
They'll have, instead of just like the wooden sticks that have the nail on it to help pick up trash, there'll be like a steampunk.
Yes.
Where they're
going to have a monocle.
Artisanal. Yes. Some guy's going to be doing it with a top hat.
I like it.
Look, to make everyone's point, I've said a million times, there's trash everywhere. Everyone dumps their trash. LA's a big trash heap. Everything's on the ground, but no aluminum cans. Those have a value.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People walk around, they pick them up, and they bring them to the recycling place, and they get paid a couple of cents. They have value.
Yeah,
that's what the beer is. The beer is giving the aluminum can value.
Little carrot.
And you see everything on the ground, but you don't see any aluminum cans.
You're right.
Well, there's millions of aluminum cans. They're just not on the ground because they're of value to somebody.
They're worth something, yep.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
I should tell you guys that Brad Williams is going to be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, which is a beautiful old theater. And congratulations. It's a big, beautiful theater.
Thank you. Less than 100 tickets left, so as you hear this, get on it.
It is a great venue. And then also Caroline's on Broadway, February 5th and 6th. Now, Wilbur's going to be February 4th, and then Flappers out here. Burbank, that'll be February 18th and 19th. Carol Baskin, of course, BigCatRescue.org. Me, Brea Improv, February 6th. I'll be taping shows there with Bill Shatner and Dennis Quaid. And you can go to amcroll.com and check out Truth Yeller with TJ Miller. That'll be up at the Daily Wire as well. Live shows all over the place. So just go to amcroll.com for that. You can pre-order my book, which is coming out as well on Amazon. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Gina Grad. And Brad Williams and Carol Baskin saying, mahalo.
You can watch this episode of the Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get those tickets to see Adam Carolla, Truth Yeller, February 6th in Brea. Get your tickets now. They will sell out at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.